We do have two prayer quilts at the front here. Please take time after the service to tie a knot and sign the cards and say a prayer for each one of them so that they can take the blanket and feel the love of Christ cover them with your prayers. Now would you please join me in an attitude of prayer. Heavenly Father, you created us as your children. You give us freedom to wander and call us home. We can wander directionless in the wilderness, or we can follow the path that leads to you. We give thanks for your amazing creation, desert sands baking in sun and dotted with cactus plants, ocean waters extending beyond the horizon and filled with sea life, mountain ranges rising high above sea level and covered with snow. All can be beautiful, yet imposing wildernesses if traveling there alone. Some days feel like we're wandering in the wilderness, alone in an empty area where no one has gone before. It can be wild, scary, and confusing, with no apparent exit path. We face trials and tribulations in the wilderness of a fallen world. But like the wilderness of creation, you've already been there. You've been to the wilderness, and you remain there with us. Your presence comforts us and lights a path through the wilderness. Satan can work in mysterious ways to keep us in the wilderness and create chaos. His earthly temptations divide us and separate us from you, our loving God. He can fill us with resentment as we maintain ill will toward perceived wrongs. Our own experiences can be exaggerated, causing undue stress and drama. Lord, we need your guiding light to keep us on the right path. Keep us focused on others to prevent us from becoming self-absorbed. Guide our interactions with others that we not become self-righteous. Fill us with love that anger and moodiness have no room to reside. Help us avoid being collectors of injustice, preoccupied with perceived unfairness, so we focus on forgiveness instead of tracking and magnifying wrongs. Help us avoid being filled with a sense of entitlement, deserving of certain benefits, so we give thanks for our blessings instead of expecting everything. Almighty God, remind us to look at ourselves and consider our own failings so we avoid different rules for others than expectations for ourselves. We come to you in the midst of daily struggles, needing your compassion and mercy. Hear us now as we silently place our concerns with you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending us the living word in Jesus Christ. Hear us now as we say the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Our scripture lesson today comes from Mark 14, 32 through 42. They went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit while I pray." He took Peter, James, and John along with him and began to deeply be distressed and troubled. My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death, he said to them. Stay here and keep watch. Going a little farther, he fell to the ground and prayed that if possible, the hour might pass from him. Abba, Father, he said, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but what you will. Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. Simon, he said to Peter, are you asleep? Couldn't you keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Once more he went away and prayed the same thing. When he came back, he found them sleeping again because their eyes were heavy. They did not know what to say to him. Returning the third time, he said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? Enough! The hour has come. Look, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Bob. So before I begin, I wanted to draw your attention to a flyer that you'll find in the back of the sanctuary and also out in the community room. It's a third installment, a newsletter about the merger discussions between Brighton First and Whitmore Lake Wesley United Methodist Church. We have an opportunity to be in profound ministry in a new way, in a new community, by merging our congregations. And so we've been talking about this since January, and we continue to working toward a vote on this on April 15th. So I invite you to pick up a newsletter that has a little more information, including dates where we will have opportunities for town halls and questions and answer sessions. So with that, I invite you to pray with me. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, during this season in Lent, we are looking at the wilderness, and we're looking at some different ways that we might experience wilderness ourselves, and examining that in light of how Jesus experienced wilderness. So a couple weeks ago, Pastor Bob introduced us to Jesus in being tempted or tested in the wilderness. Last week, we talked about denial in the wilderness, and I invite you to go to our website if you've missed either of those sermons, and you can hear recordings of them. This week, we're talking about the wilderness of loneliness. Now, this is a tough subject. I've been in ministry for 27 years, and in that time, I've had the privilege of being invited into people's lives at the most glorious times, in the best celebrations that can come in life. But I've also been invited into some of the most difficult and tragic times that people have experienced. But I have to say, in all of those experiences, one of the most difficult places that I have been called to pastor is in the midst of loneliness. And I think that part of the challenge for that is that while all of us experience at some time in our lives loneliness, it comes in such different ways. We may experience it in the long term or in the short term. It varies in intensity based on the person, and it takes different forms. And what I've decided is there are no easy answers. Loneliness is real. Sometimes you can't work it or act it away. It is a feeling that is with us. And so the question is, how do we work through, how do we live with this loneliness in the wilderness? And what might the life of Jesus and the actions of Jesus bring to us about it? So loneliness is the desire for companionship. And there's definitely, as Missy explained, there's a difference between a state of being alone and a feeling of loneliness. And it comes to us in all kinds of ways. And maybe you can name in your own life where you have felt lonely. Certainly, when there's death of a companion, a spouse, a partner, even the death of a pet can bring feelings of loneliness. We might have a broken relationship in terms of a breakup or a divorce, and it can cause loneliness. Sometimes moves changing a job can be a lonely time. You can be on a college campus surrounded by people and still feel lonely. It comes in all kinds of ways. And, you know, I thought after, you know, my decades of singleness that I would understand and have empathy toward loneliness. And I suppose I do understand. I know what it's like to sit on a Friday night and wish there was something to do, or to desire just to have a good conversation with someone. But I can only talk about my own feelings of loneliness. I can't define for other people or give easy answers for that. One of the things that I do take comfort in is that there's a biblical understanding of loneliness as well, and several stories that point to that. For example, in the book of Job, Job starts with the story of a man who has everything going for him, wealth and family and good health, and he loses it all. And then as he sits there just suffering, his so-called friends show up, and they offer him helpful advice like, well, why don't you just figure out how you offended God and go make amends? And Job keeps telling them, you don't understand, I have not done one thing. I have been faithful and this has happened to me. Job is puzzled, and in his suffering, he stays in loneliness. There are other stories as well. One that touches my heart is the story of Leah. This is the story of Jacob's wives. Jacob goes to the land of his ancestors, to a second cousin distant named Laban, and he wants to marry his beloved Rachel, who is second in line of Laban's daughters, and Laban tricks him into marrying Leah first. As far as we can tell, she doesn't have much say in it. But she becomes his wife as the firstborn daughter, and Jacob never loves her. And as the story unfolds and she even has children by him, she knows that she is not loved. And the loneliness just seems to radiate from the page. There's a prophet named Elijah who is faithful and does all that God wants. And he takes care of the enemy prophets. And he finds himself being chased into the wilderness by Queen Jezebel and King Ahab. And he cries out to God, I have done everything for you, and yet they seek to kill me. I might as well die now. And he lies down in the desert alone. Think about even the loneliness in the story of the disciples. We hear about them leaving their fishing nets behind to follow Jesus. But what of those mothers and fathers that they left behind, who expected that those sons would continue the family work, who sat at empty tables and missed the conversation and the companionship of their sons who had gone to follow Jesus? Loneliness moves through the Bible. And in the Psalms, we hear laments of loneliness, of abandonment. My friends and companions stand aloof from my affliction, and my neighbors stand far off. And I know that this is a feeling that Jesus experienced as well. He went into the wilderness, according to the Gospel of Mark, driven by the Spirit, and there was alone for 40 days. Now, he was sustained in the end by God's angel, but in the beginning, he was hungry and famished and alone. And that's how he prepared for ministry. In addition, we hear a loneliness story as we see again and again that the disciples did not completely understand his ministry and seemed along the way to just not get his teachings. And in the end, on the night before his death, he gathered with them to have a final meal. And you would think in that moment they would understand, but what he knew in his heart was in the hours ahead, he would experience the betrayal of Judas. the abandonment of the disciples as they ran rather than help him when he was arrested, and the denial of Peter. Peter, the one that he would say would found the church, would be the one who says, I don't know him. I don't know who he is. Jesus knew going into that meal what it would be to be profoundly lonely in this world. And so when the meal was done, he gathered up the disciples and he led them out of the city of Jerusalem, down into the Kidron Valley, and then up onto the side of the Mount of Olives. And there he gathered with them and he just asked that they would pray with him. So he told them to watch and pray, and going a little bit further, he fell and he prayed that the hour might pass from him. I can't help but think that this must have been one of the most profoundly lonely times in Jesus' ministry on earth. He went back and the disciples were sleeping. He prayed, he went back and the disciples were sleeping. He went back, and a third time, they were asleep. All he asked was that they watch and pray. And they couldn't do that. Jesus understood what it was to be lonely as he was arrested and taken back up to Mount Zion, to Caiaphas's house. He was put in cellar overnight there. He was put before the mockery of a trial. He was condemned. He was beaten. And he hung on the cross even as disciples were there watching. Jesus was there and understood that loneliness. Now you have to ask, how in the world did he cope with that? And what might we learn on how to cope with loneliness in our lives? One of the first things is when Jesus prayed to God, and I'm looking at verse 36 in Mark 14, he starts, Abba, Father. He uses Abba, which would be translated today as Daddy, a very intimate, personal prayer. And so at some point, he has become so deeply connected with God that that's where he finds sustenance and courage. But I would say that there are some things that we can learn from Jesus' loneliness that can help us in our times of loneliness, no matter what they're like. The first thing is that we can know for certain that Jesus gets it. Jesus lived it himself. He understood the loneliness of abandonment. He understood the loneliness of being misunderstood. He understood the loneliness of differences. He was raised in Nazareth. Nazareth rejected him. He had to go to a new hometown, Capernaum, and all new relationships. Jesus gets it. And in the middle of his ministry, as he talked with the disciples and also the people who were around him, he gathered them in and he said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. How did he understand the weariness and the burden? He did because he lived it himself. And so in the midst of our loneliness, whether it is a circumstantial loneliness of the moment, and light in intensity, but certainly there, or whether it is an intensity of loneliness that we will experience probably for the rest of our lives, Jesus says, I get it. The other thing that we can understand is an understanding that Jesus will not leave us. What he says to the disciples on the night before his death, he says to them in John 14, I will not leave you orphaned. I will not leave you. And so even as we journey in difficult wildernesses in our lives, God is persistent. God is persistent through Jesus Christ in being with us in the most happy of times. And in those times where we may not notice the everyday life, but in the most difficult of times when we think that we are absolutely by ourselves, God is also there. And Jesus says, I will not leave you. As he is ascending to heaven at the end of the Gospel of Matthew, he says to those who believe, he says, I will be with you always. It is a promise that he has. And then finally, one thing that I just think is so important is that he offers us some direction as he offered direction to the disciples in the midst of his loneliness on that night in the Garden of Gethsemane. He says, stay here and keep watch. He offers them the direction, watch and pray. Watch what's happening. Watch for God. Keep watch for me and pray. I want to tell you a story of something that happened to me several years ago. I had been appointed here for about a year and a half, and John Ball had been appointed to the associate pastor about 6 months before, and so he'd been there around 6 months, and he was sitting in my office, and he said to me, he said, I just love this church, because my family, John had a young family, he said, my family and I have been invited to people's homes, we've been invited to events, this church has just embraced us. And we are so blessed. And I started crying because that had not been my experience for a year and a half here. After that, I had to decide what I was going to do with feelings of loneliness that were really intense that I had not been paying attention to. And I decided that watching and praying was where I needed to go. Because perhaps I had not been following the directions that Jesus had given. The first thing was to watch for opportunities for relationship and to watch for God's power and presence in this world. Now, I cannot offer easy answers to loneliness because it is a real emotion, and I don't think all of us can walk away from it that easily. But I can say that in my commitment to watch for God's power, to watch for God offering opportunities that I might act in a way that would end loneliness, it made a difference in my life. And the last one, the second one that Jesus offers, I think is so important and something that I had to call myself on, and that is prayer. You know, they got these programs now where if you want to run a 5K, you can like take 10 weeks or so and you can get yourself up to a 5K. Do you know what I'm talking about? I've read the directions. I actually tried on the treadmill once and then my knees started barking. But here's the thing I know is that if I want, I could, yes, I could at 59 run a 5K. I know I could. But I couldn't do it this afternoon. I mean, I wouldn't be running across the line, I'd be crawling. But I know that I could if I took the time and made it a priority to condition for it, right? Right? Okay. So if I wanted to run a marathon or a half marathon, I could, well, maybe not, but I could try. And I would just have to condition for that, right? Take the time to do that. How would it be any different in our prayer life? If we're going to need at some time, by the circumstances of this life, as we walk through whatever that wilderness is we find ourselves, if we want to be ready to lean on God, to watch and pray, why wouldn't we be conditioning now? I have to tell you, in my loneliness, I had to have a come to Jesus moment myself and to say, am I conditioning? Am I recognizing the companionship that I am offered regularly first so that I might be whole and ready for companionship that might come? All of us experience loneliness in some way. And it is wilderness and it is real. And Jesus experienced it himself. But in that experience, Jesus found connection with God and offers us that connection again. I truly believe it is what gave him the courage and the strength to give his life for us and to set us free. So what's the challenge this week? I have a twofold challenge. The first is to be aware of loneliness, to really kind of look for that wilderness, and it may be in us and is gone unrecognized. A relational loneliness, a spiritual loneliness, a loneliness at work or in our lives after retirement, a loneliness that comes with health issues, to recognize it and to name it. And the second is, if you're not there yet, to examine how you're training up in prayer so that in the midst of wilderness, God might be powerfully present and intimately present as Jesus cried, Abba, that we might cry naturally and easily to God, a companion that will not let us go. And through Jesus Christ, gets our wildernesses and wants to come alongside us. Let's pray. Lord, Lord, you know what we've been through. You know what we need. And so we ask that you might fill our lives as a beginning point so that we may know first that we are not alone and that you walk with us in this place. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.